Happy Father's Day, everyone. I'm so grateful to get to be here and share God's word this morning. When I think about fathers, I often think of giving. I think of all the ways that fathers give to their children. It's not always tangible gifts, but especially the gifts like what they've taught us and being there for us, and also the ways they've sacrificed for us. All these gifts are so amazing, and there's something that I'm so grateful for. And yet, our Heavenly Father has given us a much greater gift than any gift that a human father could give. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So whether or not your earthly father was present to give you the gifts that I described earlier, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you perfectly and unconditionally, and who has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today I'm going to be continuing the series on musical praise and worship, but this sermon topic actually fits really well with Pastor Andrew's sermon series on the Holy Spirit. Today's topic in sermon is called Worship and the Holy Spirit. One time where we really want the Holy Spirit to be with us and where we want to ask for greater awareness of the Holy Spirit is in musical praise and worship, because when the Holy Spirit manifests his presence, or when he makes his presence known during praise and worship, it's a great gift. The atmosphere changes. And as I talk about worship today, I just want to clarify that I'm referring to musical praise and worship, but I'm also talking about the broader worship service and other types of worship gatherings. So it could be a prayer gathering or a Bible study or any time that you meet with God's people to worship God. But something that I want to also emphasize is that the Holy Spirit's role in worship is not only to allow us to feel his presence. It's so much more. Let's begin to unpack this by talking about the Holy Spirit's role in worship. That's our first big idea for today. One of the Holy Spirit's roles in worship is to be worshiped. As we've already learned from Pastor Andrew's sermons in this series, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, which means that the Holy Spirit is God. We're called to worship God and only God. And since the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit's primary role in worship is being the focus of our worship along with the Son and the Father. They are one God and yet three distinct persons. However, before we can begin to worship God, we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit helps to make worship possible. That's another one of the Holy Spirit's roles. And because Jesus's death and resurrection, and because of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, we're able to worship. These are the things that make worship possible. Jesus started to explain this to the Samaritan woman that he met at the well. In John 4, 23 to 24, in the NIV, it says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Worshiping in spirit and in truth means being able to worship because of the truth that Jesus is our Savior. And we worship in the Spirit because God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit after Jesus was resurrected and ascended to heaven. Jesus was speaking about the fact that temple worship in Jerusalem, or on Mount Gerizim, as the Samaritans believed, would no longer be required. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice that would pay for our sins, past, present, and future. After his death and resurrection, God would no longer require temple sacrifice and temple worship, because all people could now receive salvation and forgiveness of sins through Jesus' death and resurrection. God calls believers to worship him in the Spirit through the gift of the Holy Spirit and in the truth of salvation through Jesus. Besides helping to make worship possible, the Holy Spirit also helps us worship. This is the third role of the Holy Spirit in worship. The Holy Spirit helps us worship by inspiring praise and moves believers to praise. We see this in Luke 1, 67 to 68 in the NIV. It says, "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them.' Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, and as he was filled with the Spirit, he prophesied and praised." And in Luke 2, 27 to 28, it says, "Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Simeon was a righteous man whom God had told that he would not die before he saw the Savior come on earth. And so Simeon was moved by the Spirit, and he praised God for allowing him to see Jesus, who was the Savior and the Messiah. Also, the Spirit prompted Jesus to praise the Father. This is in Luke 10, 21. It says, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.'" Just like the Holy Spirit prompted Jesus, Simeon, and Zechariah to praise, the Holy Spirit also prompts us to praise God if we're listening to him, or if we're tuned in, so to speak. And this makes me think of radios, because you can't really listen to a radio station unless you have your radio tuned to the correct frequency. And just like you can't hear the songs or the radio program that you want to listen to unless your radio dial is tuned in to the correct station, we can't be inspired by the Holy Spirit to worship unless our hearts and minds are tuned in or attuned to the Holy Spirit. And there are many ways to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But since we're talking about musical worship today, let's talk about how musical worship can help us become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that's our next big point and idea, that music can help us become more attentive to the Holy Spirit's presence. And actually, there's a connection between music and the Holy Spirit's activity. We're going to look at this in Scripture. First, we're going to look at the Old Testament. Elisha the prophet asked for a musician before he prophesied on one occasion, and that's in 2 Kings 3:15. It says, "But now bring me a harpist." While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says, 'I will fill this valley with pools of water.'" Elisha was doing what many prophets in the Old Testament did sometimes when they were wanting to hear from the Lord. And we see this again in 1 Chronicles 25:1. It was really common for Old Testament prophets to be accompanied by musical instruments. And so the verse says, "David, together with the commanders of the army, set apart some of the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun for the ministry of prophesying, accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals. Here is the list of the men who performed this service." I'm not going to read you that list. It's pretty long. But the important thing is to recognize that these men who were called to be prophets and who were filled with the Holy Spirit were often accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals. So it was really common practice to use musical instruments when people were worshiping God and wanting to hear from the Holy Spirit. And another place that we see this is in the New Testament. A result of being filled with the Spirit is worshiping God through singing and music. And I shared this verse the last time that I preached, but I think it's so relevant here and so important, so I'm going to share it again. It's Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It doesn't really explain how it happens, but it's really clear that when we are filled with the Spirit, one of the natural kind of outflows, or one of the things that just happens, is that we want to sing and praise God, and also that we end up, you know, singing and speaking to each other with these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. However, even though we know that musical worship does have this connection with the Holy Spirit's activity, there's some things we want to be aware of and keep in mind. The most important, I would say, is that there is no formula for how to experience the Holy Spirit in worship. We can't expect that because we've experienced the Holy Spirit's presence when we sang a certain song or when a certain group of musicians was playing, that we'll experience the Holy Spirit in the same way if we repeat the same song or we have the same group of musicians play together again in the future. I will say that some people may be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work in their lives, and they may experience the Holy Spirit's work as they're leading worship in a way that seems to happen regularly. And praise God for that. It's amazing how God works through his people, and how when we're surrendered to him and we're sensitive and attuned to his Spirit, we can hear what he wants to do, and he can use us in really powerful ways But the important thing to remember about this is that it's the Holy Spirit working how he wills. It's not a person following a certain formula. It's not a person manipulating the Holy Spirit, because we can't do that. We can't manipulate the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God and has all power at his disposal. So he is going to work in the way that he desires. And that actually kind of leads us to this next idea. I want to share that another reason we can't depend on a formula to experience the Holy Spirit's presence. I actually saw this idea from Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God. But he said that the Holy Spirit is creative. And so, you know, we know that the Holy Spirit was involved with the Father and the Son in creating the universe. And so he may not do things in the same way that he's done them before, or in the way that we think he will. And I believe at this point, it's really important to focus on the purpose of experiencing the Holy Spirit's presence and work in worship. It's not so that we can leave the service feeling good. The amazing joy and peace we experience in the Holy Spirit's presence is a gift. And it may be a reminder that we needed, that the Holy Spirit does see us, that the Holy Spirit's with us. But it's not the main reason that we seek the Holy Spirit's presence in worship. If we try to create a formula to experience the Holy Spirit, we might be just doing it for ourselves or our own purposes. So now let's talk about what the Bible says the purpose of experiencing the Holy Spirit in worship is. So yeah, let's talk about that main idea, the purpose of experiencing the Holy Spirit in worship. The first purpose I want to talk about is it's to empower believers to serve God and others in ministry. In Acts 4, 31 to 33, in the NIV, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. After experiencing the Holy Spirit's power in a worship gathering, they probably did respond like most of us would by telling others about how amazing it was and saying, wow, I couldn't believe how powerful that moment was. But it didn't stop there. They weren't solely focused on their experience. Instead, the experience moved and empowered them to speak God's word boldly. It led them to be unified, and they shared everything. And it also continued empowering the apostles to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. Another purpose of the Holy Spirit's presence in our worship is for us to receive gifts and to use those gifts to edify the church. This is a bit of a review of what some of the things Pastor Andrews preached about, but I think it's important to talk about it again here. As I mentioned earlier, music is not the only way to prepare our hearts to hear from or be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit reveals God's presence through preaching and spiritual gifts, as Paul wrote about to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4 to 5, in the NIV, it says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So as Paul was preaching, the Holy Spirit's power was demonstrated. And people experience the Holy Spirit's work through his preaching. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 7, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit are for the good of the church and to edify others. And in a similar way, the last kind of purpose of the Holy Spirit's work in our midst in worship is so that we can be encouraged and we can encourage each other and, you know, maybe speak and even challenge each other. We read about this earlier, or we read about it in Ephesians 5:18. I'm not going to show that slide again, but it talked about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And as I shared in my last sermon, when we're singing together in worship, of course, above all, we're worshiping God and focusing on him. But a lot of the lyrics in the songs also give us the opportunity to encourage and teach each other as we sing. Well, we've been talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in worship and about the purpose of the Holy Spirit's work in worship and worship gatherings. But don't we as believers need to do something? I mean, don't we need to be involved in some way? So now let's talk about this last big idea, which is the believer's role in Holy Spirit-led worship. We have a part as well. The first part of our role is dependence on the Holy Spirit and basically recognizing that apart from the Holy Spirit working in us, we are lacking. There's a lot we can't do. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and among us. And so one of the ways we can depend on the Holy Spirit is through prayer. We can ask specifically for what we would like the Holy Spirit to do. And we can follow Paul's example and even his instructions in Ephesians 6, 18 through 19 in the NIV. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." Paul set the example of depending on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we might say he was one of the boldest and best gospel communicators in all of history. And yet, here and in other places in his letters, he asks believers to pray that he will speak the message of the gospel fearlessly. And in another verse, he'll speak it clearly. So if Paul needed to depend on the Holy Spirit, then we definitely do. And another way we can depend on the Holy Spirit is to ask for the Holy Spirit and to ask the Holy Spirit to work in us and among us, to do things that only he can do. In Luke 11, 11 to 13, in the NIV, it says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" When we ask, God is ready and waiting to give us the Holy Spirit and to enable us and empower us through the Holy Spirit to do the work he's given us. But I was reading last night and I saw this quote that I thought was really, really applicable to this idea of depending on the Holy Spirit. It's by the theologian Karl Barth, and it says, "When we are at our wits' end for an answer, then the Holy Spirit can give us an answer. But how can he give us an answer when we are still well supplied with all sorts of answers of our own?" So again, if we're not depending on the Holy Spirit, then we may not really receive much from the Holy Spirit because we're dependent on our own abilities. And so we really need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Another part of our role as believers in Holy Spirit-led worship is expectation. We need to come with a heart full of expectation that the Holy Spirit's presence will be manifest among us, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and teach us. Matthew 13, 58 in the NIV says, "And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." There was a difference between those who expected Jesus to heal them and those who didn't. Those who had an expectation had faith that he could heal. Does our lack of expectation have anything to do with our faith in what the Holy Spirit can do, or whether we believe the Holy Spirit will work among us? One way to come with an expectant heart and to prepare for the Holy Spirit to work among us is to allow time and space for the Holy Spirit to move and to speak. It's taking time to listen for what the Holy Spirit wants to say and do among us. And we see this in scripture in Acts 13:2. It says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" They were worshiping and fasting. They had set time aside to wait on the Lord and to seek the Holy Spirit's leading. This is something God wants us to do in different ways. Have you ever noticed when you go to family camp or to some other type of a Christian camp or retreat, that on the last night or in the last service, there's often a move of the Holy Spirit? Why do you think that is? It's probably because people are expecting the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way. They've already been having these amazing experiences in the services. They've been hearing from the Holy Spirit, hearing God work and minister to them and heal. So on that last night or in the last service, they're ready. They're thinking, yeah, what else is the Holy Spirit going to do tonight? Or what's he going to do today? And we can have this same expectation every Sunday or any time that we meet with other believers, because the Holy Spirit doesn't need a camp setting to make his presence known. But our own faith and expectation are really important. The last part of our role that I want to talk about is that we need to have a right heart condition. We need to be worshiping God for the right reasons. As we worship in spirit and in truth, we need to recognize that we can worship because of what Christ has done for us, and because the Holy Spirit enables us to worship. And we also worship because God is worthy of worship, even if you don't feel like worshiping that day. Whether or not you came prepared to worship, whether a song that you know is being sung, or whether you connect with the message that day, God is worthy to be praised, and he wants to speak to you. Will you choose to worship God despite how you feel? Another part of having a right heart condition is responding humbly to the Spirit's leading and prompting. You may have the urge to pray for someone who shares a specific prayer need, or a Bible verse may pop into your head when you see someone, which this may be the Holy Spirit's way of prompting you to share it with them. And when this happens, we need to respond humbly to the Spirit's leading with the intent to build up the church, not to draw attention to ourselves. We also need to respond. Sometimes we might be afraid that, oh, did I hear you right, Lord? Or we might think, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this well. But the truth is, if the Holy Spirit is prompting us, we need to trust that the Holy Spirit's able to communicate that message, or is able to work through us in a way that is going to be helpful and is going to minister to the people that the Holy Spirit's calling us to serve. But when it comes to this idea of, you know, the point of responding humbly and why we respond to the Holy Spirit, I want to share one more verse. It's 1 Corinthians 14:3. It says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So whether we speak a word of prophecy or we respond to any prompting of the Holy Spirit, we need to obey Paul's teaching to speak or act in order to build others up, not to exalt ourselves. As I conclude today's message, I want to emphasize the Spirit's role and our role in Holy Spirit-led worship. The Holy Spirit's role is to be worshiped, to help make worship possible, and to inspire or prompt our worship. The Holy Spirit, like the Father and Son, is unchanging. He always fulfills his role. Our role as believers is to depend on the Holy Spirit, to expect the Holy Spirit to work, and to humbly respond to the Holy Spirit's leading with a right heart. We are not God, though, and we do change. We don't always fulfill our role in this aspect of Holy Spirit-led worship. And so I want to challenge you today to pray and ask the Holy Spirit which aspect of your role in Spirit-led worship you need to grow in. Is it depending on the Holy Spirit? Is it expecting the Holy Spirit to make his presence known and do his work in and through our worship? Or is it humbly responding to the Holy Spirit's leading? Do you tend to respond in a way that draws attention to yourself instead of to the Holy Spirit? Or do you struggle to respond at all to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life? Whatever it is, we know that the Father has given believers the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that he will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit when we ask. So today, let's ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill our role in Spirit-led worship. Let's pray. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you desire to make yourself known in our worship services. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you desire to use us to to do your work and to minister to others and to serve others. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you desire just to speak to us and encourage us and remind us of your great love and your power. So we pray today, as we have been talking about Holy Spirit-led worship, God, we ask you to help us to be sensitive, just to hear from you what it is that we maybe need, how we need to grow. Would you speak to us? Would you prompt us and give us that understanding of what you want us to work on? And then, Holy Spirit, we know that we can't do any of it without you. So we ask you to empower us. We ask you to give us wisdom and ideas of how we can depend on you more, of how we can expect you to work among us, and how we can come with a heart that is humble and with an attitude that is ready to worship you regardless of how we feel. We pray that you would use us and that you would guide us, because we know that, God, you have so much you want to do in and through us, and ways that you want to use us to reach lost people, to make you known, God, to bring about your healing and your salvation in this world. So we lift all this up to you, and we also ask that you would just guide us today, Lord, as we leave this service. Guide us, Lord, as we talk together in mixed groups, Lord, in everything that we're doing. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to be with us and to go before us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, praise God. Hopefully you guys learned something new from today's sermon. If I could have that slide brought up that talks about our phase one transition, let me run through this with you guys. And again, we'll send more information out on this. We'll also post this on the website here soon. But one is that we have set a date for phase one of our reentry back into in-person worship, and that's going to be Sunday, August 1st. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. Phase one, for those of you guys that haven't seen the emails or what have you, it's going to be streaming from the church location. So we are taking a really conservative approach. And so let me start by just continuing to say thank you guys for your prayers and for your patience. I know as the country, as the state opens up, I know people are really antsy. They're excited to get back together, but we want to be really cautious, really careful. It's just the approach that we have decided as a joint board, as an entire church, both ministries, to take this approach. And so for phase one, those that will be present at the church will be pastors, worship team members, and those that are serving on the AV team. And due to both the Nichigo English Ministries both sharing the main sanctuary, that's where we're going to be doing the taping and the live streaming of our services. Because of that, we're going to have to adjust our times for worship, our start times. And so we will be starting our services at 9 a.m. So it's about an hour beforehand, so a little bit earlier, but it also means you guys will get out earlier and you'll have the rest of your Sunday to do what you want. Then we'll have a time to clean and disinfect the church, and then our Nichigo ministry will start at 11 a.m. Community groups, they will continue to meet. The two changes will be, one, those groups obviously will start about an hour earlier than now. So they're going to start right after service. And we are going to have those groups continue meeting in the form that they are. However, if you are someone who is serving at the church, maybe you're on the worship team, if you're on the AV team, we don't want to break that flow. So if you want to hang out with those people that are at the church, if you feel comfortable and safe doing that, feel free to do that, because your group will be meeting with you, but you are still a member of your normal community group. So don't worry about that. As far as phase two, and that will be having church attenders at the church, that is still to be determined. We're trying to figure out what all the protocols are that we want to have in place. And so we'll send you more information as that comes down the road. But again, just thank you guys for your continuing patience and your prayers. We want to do this in the best possible way we can. So